following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we are so filled with excitement, Lord, by what we're about to read, by what is happening in our world today, Lord. I'm excited to see that your coming is so much closer, Lord, that all of the things that we've read about, all of the things that we've heard, we're seeing them happen, Lord. And although it's we pray against certain things, Lord, we know that some things are just, that's the way it's going to be because you said so. And so, Lord, we do pray for our country. We do pray, God, that you would lead our leaders. Father, that you would cause them to walk in righteousness, that you would cause them, Lord, to come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, that there wouldn't be any of the bowing to sin for the purpose of votes. Lord, we stand against that in the name of Jesus. We stand together against that. And we pray, God, that your blessing would be on them. Father, that they would be aware of your presence in whatever way that you desire to let that be known to them. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this portion of our scripture, of our text, Lord. We love you, and we are so blessed, Lord, to be in your family. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the first thing that I did as I was writing up my notes, I put the wrong chapter at the top of it. And so I just noticed that this morning. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but I didn't study 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It was 2 Corinthians. So we're remembering, I know you got your Bibles already open to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and we want to remember why this offering is even being talked about. This offering was being talked about because the people in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, was very, very, very poor. This was something that the Corinthians had already committed to. They wanted to do it. They were excited about doing it, and they had the means for it. In Jerusalem, there was a drought going on, which also put the Jewish Christians in peril. This also opened up an opportunity for the Gentiles to minister to the Jewish Christians there in Jerusalem. It was an opportunity for that fellowship that can be done no other way than keeping a commitment. A commitment. What do we do with our commitments? What do we do when we say we're going to do something? Do we follow through? Because half obedience is what? Disobedience. And so we always want to make sure that we've heard from the Lord. And I know that these Corinthians, at that particular time, they had heard from God. You are to gather up this amount. You are to gather up this offering for the people in Jerusalem, and you need to deliver it. This was a year ago that they had talked about it, and they wanted to do it. They were desirous to do it. And so we're just going to get right into it as we open up this chapter here. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, verse 1, it's superfluous for me to write to you. I just wanted to read that verse because I wanted to be able to pronounce that word, superfluous. It just is. It goes without saying. It goes without saying that I should write to you. Concerning the ministry to the saints. We know that you are people that want to minister to the saints. We know that you are people that are givers. We know this about you. So I'm just writing this to you because I have a couple of points that I want to cover. And so we move down into verse 2. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Not only is there excitement in Paul's voice, in his writing, but there is excitement on everyone who has heard about this. Everyone who has heard about this wants to be a part of it. Isn't that so exciting? You know, the thing about the bracelets that were being, donations were being taken for the bracelets for Katie. One person got excited about it, and look at what God has done for Katie, in that she's going to be able to get the prosthesis when the time comes, and how things are going, and she's got more people praying for her, and all of that. So look what happens when we get excited about stuff. And those of you who know me know that when I talk about something, I'm going, I am so excited about it. And I'm not putting that on. I'm so excited. I am so excited about what we're doing with this tea this year. I'm so excited, the new direction that we're going in. I am excited over to see what God is going to do in May. I just can hardly wait. But I got to get myself busy and make the tickets so that you guys can go. But anyway, I'm really excited about it, and I hope you all are a part of that. And so they got other people excited. Verse 3, yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Be prepared. He didn't want them to be unprepared. And that is a word that God has been speaking to us for about 2 years, to us ladies, to be prepared. Jesus spoke of being prepared. And you know that at our retreat, our Keep Calm and Carry On retreat, the word that came from the Lord was to be prepared. There was a word that came that said, these things are going to come. These things are going to happen. But how can I prepare for them? Jesus told us how we are to prepare for them. He prepared us in the way that he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, by the way, those of you who are new, we and a reminder to all of the rest of us, 7:14 in the morning, we pray for our country. 7:14 in the evening, we pray for our country. Wherever we're at, we just take a minute. Stop what you're doing, pray for our country. And don't forget to do that. So 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, so he's talking to the people that are believers, his people, the ones who are part of his family, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, would just humble ourselves. Let go of our pride. Let go of our arrogance. Let go of our I'll do it myself attitude. Humble ourselves and pray. And seek my face. Now, I don't know if kids play hide and seek anymore, but you know, those are, yeah, they do? Okay, good. Okay, when someone's hiding, you are looking all over for them when you're playing hide and seek. You're looking everywhere. You're turning over every rock, maybe not a rock, but, every basket, every area, opening every door to try to find them because you are seeking them. And this says that we are to seek my face, seek his face. We are seeking the face of the Lord. And turn from their wicked ways. I want you to recall that the very first part of this says, if my people. He's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to the unconverted. He's talking to those who say they are believers, that they are Christians, that they are followers of Christ. Turn from their wicked ways. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, if you do this, then I'll do this, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. That's being prepared. Humbling ourselves, praying, seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways. It is a preparation that God has put on our hearts, and he's told us clearly that's what we are to do. And so we need to be about it. And then in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, and maybe we could just turn to that really quickly. I'm going to briefly not really read it so much as to just go over it at 25. I'm in the wrong book. Wrong book. Okay, there we go. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were not wise. And they all says, they all in verse 5, it says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. That means that they were at peace. They were happy in what they were doing. They were going about life. It doesn't mean that they particularly were sleeping the whole time. It means that they were at peace with everything that was going on. Now, all of them started out good. Every one of them had their lamps filled and their wick trimmed in the beginning. But then it took some effort to every day make sure that that oil lamp was still filled with oil. It took some effort. It took some attention. It was important that they trim that wick so that the fire burned properly. And there were those that were the 5 foolish that just said, you know, I really don't have time to go out and get oil today. I really don't have the time to get to trimming that wick, and it's just so much work. I have so much to do. And you know, my friend so-and-so or my sister so-and-so, they're always prepared for anything. So if anything comes up, I'll just borrow from them, and I'll be fine. I won't have to worry about it. But what happened? The bridegroom came, and they were unprepared. And so what did they say? They said to their friends, they said to the other prepared ones, the 5 other wise ones, they said, oh, let us take from you. Let us take some of that from you so that we can go with you. Well, we don't have enough to give you. We only have enough for ourselves. That's what salvation is. You can't have my salvation. I can't give you my salvation. I can only use that myself. And when the bridegroom comes, he's going to come for me because of my salvation. And I don't know about if your lamp is filled. I'm trusting that it all is because I see Jesus in all of you. So, but there they were, unprepared, not ready. And here the bridegroom comes and he wants to take them to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And they don't get to go. Can you imagine knowing that you're getting married and doing nothing in preparation for the wedding? Oh, I'll just show up when the bridegroom comes and we'll just, you know, I guess we could have had flowers. Oh, maybe I should have gotten a dress. You know, can you imagine that? No, none of us would do that. And yet we do that in our spiritual life. And we don't make sure that that lamp is filled. We don't make sure that we have invested that time with the Lord, that we have had that time in prayer and worship and praise, so many times being a sacrifice of praise. And then it says down in this particular portion, afterward, the other virgins came also because they told them, go out and buy some from the people. And so they went out to buy it. And of course, they were late coming in. And you know, that's where the tradition came that once the bride goes down the aisle, that no one else is supposed to come in. Did you know that that was a, yeah. And so once the doors are closed and the bride's coming down the aisle, no one else is allowed to come into the room. And so there they were afterward. The other virgins came also saying, verse 11, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. Unprepared. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We do not know when Jesus Christ is coming for us. We don't know when that rapture is going to happen. We don't know. Are we prepared? Are we prepared to go? not even at a moment's notice, are we prepared to go in the twinkling of an eye notice. That's every day, every day, every day in every way. We are prepared. We prepare ourselves. And we are to watch and pray. And then verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not a grudging obligation. I wanted to let you know ahead of time so that what you had planned to do, you will have ready when it's time to pick it up. Have you ever been in a situation back in the days when we wrote checks and didn't do everything electronically? Have you ever been in a situation where you wrote this big check for something that someone had done and you told them, you specifically told them, I know the money's in the bank, please cash the check. But no, they held on to the check. And then, because you didn't keep good records and you didn't know that they hadn't cashed the check, you went on about your regular routine. And then one day, they decide, oh, I got this check, I think I'll put it in. But now there's not money to cover it. The heart was there. Everything you did was right. You had you did everything right, but it was the one that didn't cash the check on the right time because you weren't prepared and weren't paying attention anyway. And so that's what this is talking about. We don't want you to be found in that situation that where you feel like you have to give grudgingly. Now you have to gather up the money to make this thing happen. But John 14:29, Jesus said, I have told you before it comes that when it does come, you may believe that you won't be fooled. I love that. Jesus himself said, I've told you all these things beforehand. All of these things. How to be prepared, to be prepared, to get it together. I get it all together and then I can't find out where it's at. But, you know, to get it together and to be looking for his coming. He said these things would happen. As I was listening to the news this morning, and I had vowed I wasn't going to listen to the news before I taught, but I was listening to the news and this whole thing about North Korea, and I'm thinking, Lord, wars and rumors of wars. There's the wars going on, and there's the rumor of war. We're in the last days. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming for his beloved. Verse 6, but I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Loves a cheerful giver. What are we talking about? We're talking about what we sow, we're going to reap. Jesus, well, if we sow love, compassion, tenderness, forgiveness, if we sow that abundantly, we will receive that abundantly. If we sow sparingly and hang on to that unforgiveness, hang on to our stuff, hang on to our they don't deserve my compassion, that kind of an attitude. And we sow sparingly, that's what we will reap. Will we be willing to give our whole lives? As we just celebrated Easter, we were very aware that Jesus himself, Jesus, the Son of God, sowed abundantly. He sowed his whole life. His whole life. He laid it down. Some commercials that are on right now, Maya Angelou, she says that if you're gracious and kind, and she uses another word, she says, you're known by that. And if you're not, you're also known by that. And we are. We are known by the things that we're sowing. And that is connected with what we reap. When Jesus laid down his life, it was just like he sowed that seed. A seed has to go into the ground. It has to be buried. It has to die. It has to be in that darkness before it can be made new. And that new life can spring forth in that new creation. You know, we've always used that ear of corn illustration. You put that little kernel of corn in, and as it springs up and that kernel dies, it creates life. And it, as it grows up, what does it produce? Does it produce a grain? No, it produces a whole ear. Now, many of them on this stalk. So if we sow abundantly, we will reap abundantly. So if Jesus gave his whole life for our salvation, for that we could have eternal life, why can't I lay down my whole life for others? Why would I not want to sow that into other people's lives? Why would I not want to live for other people instead of just for myself? Sowing and reaping is what we have here. In verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, I love this verse, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for what? For every good work. Not an abundance for the new house, not an abundance for the new car, not an abundance for the new this thing for me, and not an abundance for this thing for me, and for me, and for me, and for me. No, it's talking for good works. What am I going to do with this abundance that God's given me? And you know, abundance is different to all of us. The increase of fruits, or the abundance is different in all of our minds. How much does it take? How much do I need to have before I am willing to let some of it go for someone else? How much do I need to own? How much money do I need to have before I'm willing to release it to someone else to make their life better? And can I do it with a joyful heart? As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, verse 10, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's why we have the seed. That's why we have the bread for food. It's been supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of that is the Word of God. The Word of God, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, that we could be set free from this life of living for ourselves. You don't need to turn there, but Isaiah 55:10. That increase the fruits of your righteousness, increase the fruits of your right standing with him. Isaiah 55:10, for the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it for. God's word never returns void. Had a situation just last night. I was talking to a lady with a difficult situation going on in the home, and she was in tears and we're talking about this thing and the phones weren't working well and so we're only getting part of the story and stuff. But would you pray? And we prayed. And then when I got off the phone, I sat at my desk and I was just, Lord, I know that you can work a miracle here. I know that you can work a miracle in every area. So that's what I texted. I texted to her. It is, texting can be used for good things. I texted to her, God is working miracles in all areas. It wasn't 5 minutes later that she texted back to me and she said, you will not believe what just happened. That situation that was going on in the home, the other person came and said, I'm sorry. This person doesn't come and say they're sorry. Came and said that they were sorry, gave the other person a hug, and unbelievable. That was a miracle, a miracle. That was the first miracle in all that's going on here. And I am excited to see what God's going to do in all of this. Just that simple, let's pray about it, because I know that God can work these miracles. Because of the rain, I don't know. God's word will accomplish what he pleases. And that brings me to a point. And I mentioned it on Wednesday night, but Bill asked me to come up and share it after we were at When Leaders Lead. Something that the Lord really put on my heart was, what would we do if they were offering a computer program that it would look up everything for you, and it would find the history, and it would... I think it would even type it out for you. I don't know. But it just did everything for you, and it was all the different translations and a click of a button, and you were there, and you didn't have to. And I was looking at that, and you know, that's a great thing to use. I think that's a great thing to use. If you know how to use that stuff, it's a great thing to use. But then I started thinking about, what would we do if we don't have our iPad, we don't have our phone, we don't have our computer. All of the electricity went down. It won't be like Revolution with one of those little things that works for everybody. What if your Bible was no longer available to you? What if the written word in a book was not available to you? I can't remember the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. When all the power is gone and the printed page is gone, I have the word of God hidden in my heart. I know somebody who's memorizing Psalm 119. And she's doing a fabulous job about it. Because it's so important that we have the word of God hidden in our heart. He can't bring things to remembrance that we haven't put there. And that's something that no one else can take away. No one else can take that away. So use your computers. Use your whatever technology there is. But memorize the word so that you can always have it with you and call on it when maybe you go blind. Maybe, you know, deaf and blind. Who knows? God says, hide it in our hearts for the purpose of not sinning against him. So anyway, how did we get there? It's just, you know me. And it shall prosper. The word of God shall not return void, and it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. And then Hosea 10:12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, break up that hard ground that won't let water in, and it won't let seed in, and it won't let anything in. Break it up and make it usable, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. I love that verse. In fact, I have that marked in my Bible. It was a heart-to-heart retreat of 2003 that the Lord spoke that particular verse to me. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Comes and rains that right standing on us. And so we move on to verse 11. The fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, causes us to give thanksgiving that you have what you have and you're willing to give it, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, the ministry, the administration of this service, not only is it supplying the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. People see what you are doing. People see what's going on. Oh, I can't let them see that I'm giving, though. What if they know that I'm giving? What if they do know you're giving? Maybe they'll get excited about giving, too. Whatever it is. This is not only supplying the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. This is not only giving to them the things that they need, but it's letting other people see. We're a family. We are there for each other. We're always there for each other. And it caused people not to thank the Corinthians, the Greeks, the Gentiles, but to give glory to God, to give him thanksgiving for what was going on in people's lives. And there'll be a time when what was sowed will also be reaped in Corinth. And so the thanksgiving goes to God. That's the point. That's the point. Where is the thanksgiving going to? This is causing lots of people to be thankful. And I would venture to say that even those people in Jerusalem, as they received that, didn't keep it only to the family, only to the church. I'm believing that they probably shared it with others that had need as well, so that they could learn how to thank God for meeting their needs as well. And then verse 15, I love this verse. This is my new favorite verse today. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How do you describe this gift? There are so many words, but there's not enough. Indescribable, we can't speak it, but we can show it. And we can show it by the things that we've already learned here in this chapter. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and eternal life. And so, Lord, I thank you, God. I am so thankful that you have met the needs of the people here, that you have met all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, may we from this remember what we're sowing and reaping, that we would give you the glory. Father, that you might move us into righteousness, that you would be able to rain righteousness upon us, Lord. And that as we see you face to face, that you are able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I just want to lift up to you right now Bill's sister, Nora, who is in surgery to remove part of her lung and her lymph nodes, Lord. I pray, God, that you would cause there to be peace in her heart, Lord, that her rest and her trust would be in you. We pray, God, for quick healing. We pray, Father, for a peace amongst all the people that are involved, and I thank you for sending Christian nurses and doctors there that are praying for her, praying at her bedside, Lord. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And I just pray, Father, for quick healing for her in the name of Jesus. We are so thankful, Lord, that we can come to you. And I know that there are others in here that are suffering with other things. Father, I pray that you would touch them in whatever way they have a need, Lord, in whatever way that they need healing or they need your touch in some other area of their life. They need peace. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would descend upon them, Lord, and that you would give us that peace that surpasses all understanding, that would keep our hearts and minds in you. Lord, that you would cause us to rise up and to speak your name boldly, Lord, to a world that is dying without you. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence amongst us today. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up. Wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com. Or call 714-891-9495.